Welcome to the Hoops and Huddle podcast. I am Malika Walker, and today I am joined by Jasmine Harper, and I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hey, everybody. It's Jasmine Harper here of Winsider, social media director, executive member, writer, reporter. You know, the list kind of goes on.
I'm so excited because I love Jasmine's work that she does in the W. Reporting on the Dallas Wings and just her general timeline. So first of all, before we even dive into the WNBA at All-Star break, let's start with the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I figured we could start with Satou because, you know, of course, for her playing for Germany with her sister. And like, how do you feel about her first play being in the Olympics, and does that make you a little, when you watch that too in the Olympics, do you get a little nervous watching her, like, you know, since she, you know, after the Olympics, you know, she'll be back with the Wings? How are you feeling about that at this point?
I think Satou's just really trying to get her legs under her right now. She injured herself preparing for this moment and has rehabbing and had surgery to be back in time for it. So I'm not too worried about her because I feel like all along this was her focus. It was just unfortunate that she got injured and had to sit out for most of the Dallas Wings season. Otherwise, I think she would have used that time as like a ramp up for right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm not worried about Satou. I think the next game she'll be a little bit more agile, you know, feel a little bit more in her flow. I think she just needs a bit time back on the court.
I agree. My only thing was because I'm a Liberty fan, and you know we have Nayara Savali, and she's been injured for a good portion of her time on the Liberty roster. Like, we see this fire there that she can really, like, when she comes to the game, she just, you know, she's developed to be just a crucial part of our team. And so when we saw her play and her get injured, it was like a sigh, and just praying that she gets better, and for her sake, because injury after injury has to be taxing on her mental. And I feel like with her and with Satou and her sister, they're both, you know, here and there with the injury bug, it has to wear down mentally, and just thinking about them as they heal. But as we look at Team USA, and we could start by talking about the All-Star game itself, like how, you know, it was a little while ago, but I really felt the All-Star game, I thought that this is one of, I really felt it was well done, the way they, from the introductions to the flow of the game, this was an All-Star game that I actually really liked. And I liked the flow. I did like it being competitive. I know, like, we can't get used to that, but it was good to see the players, like, playing some defense, you know, a competitive game from beginning to end. I love that. So I wanted to get your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I think the All-Star game was pretty interesting. Seeing, especially like the skills competition and the 3-point contest, the All-Star game, I think everybody just really wanted to have fun this year. It was competitive, of course, with the All-Star game, like down to the wire and stuff. But overall, I really do think everybody just kind of wanted to be together to just enjoy the moment, because women's basketball and the WNBA at large really deserves to be able to bask in the moment of all the viewership, all the investment, all the deals that they have going on right now. So I really just enjoy seeing players kind of like hang out with each other, see how they interact off the court.
Yeah,
cool, you know, who hangs out over here a little bit by themselves. And it was just pretty nice to just see everybody in their element.
Yeah, it was really cool. And my favorite player, and a lot of people's favorite player in the W, is Asia. And I just love her personality and just how warm she is and how fun she is. Like, you saw some of her personality on the red carpet. And, you know, with, when you look at All-Star Friday night, that was fun. And just loved her vibe all weekend. But I thought it was funny when they did the whole red carpet, and when Caitlyn walked in, because you know her personality looks like she's an introvert, and she was trying to like, I don't know how much she's going to get that off, like get past the cameras. And I was like, poor thing. She does not want to stop and deal with all of that. But I love that, you know, like it was like, wait a minute. But I also like that you see her personality, like seeing her blossom in front of us is going to be fun. Like dealing with the camera, it has to feel like a lot on her as a rookie. Like she dealt with that in college, but that's a college setting. Now as a professional, with all the tunnel fits and then all the pressure of all the fans watching her. So seeing her like during like the red carpet and even in a game, it was nice seeing her interact with, you know, the players, and just seeing her come out a little bit more out of a shell as, you know, like as the game continued and all of that. I felt like that was good also. And Angel Reese is just she's an extrovert, so you know, like,
she naturally just fits in with everybody. She's one of those people.
I love that, you know, like, so All-Star Weekend, I felt like was a huge success for the W, and in terms of viewership, in terms of how, you know, like the weekend in general. Well, as a viewer, because I wasn't there, but as a viewer, I absolutely loved everything about All-Star. I just wish with the All-Star Saturday night, they, you know, a three-point contest, I wish we had more traditional shooters. And I knew Sabrina was leaning towards not doing it. Her three has been going down as much this season. And she wanted to focus on the Olympics.
If I'm Sabrina, I'm not, unless somebody pulls me out of, you know, somebody tries to pull my record, somebody's like calling me out about it, I'm not showing up. You would, I think, have to hit every shot in order to beat her record anyway. So that's kind of like, why would you ask LeBron to come defend like something? Or why would you ask Steph Curry to come defend something? It doesn't even make any sense. But would I like to see her there? Of course, but she has like a whole career to like do it. Yeah. I do think it was nice to see people like the big girls, like Stephanie Dolson and John trying to get. It was interesting to see, I believe it was Sophie and Marina, they kind of struggled, which I thought was pretty interesting because their whole game is kind of like spot up shooting. So they have to be in emotion rather than just picking off a rag. So I do understand like the difference is there. But overall, I definitely would have liked to see some other people there too. Because even like, Kayla McBride, I thought she was going to be probably
the winner. I just knew she was going to have... I was like, Kayla McBride got this. She got it. Marina may give, you know, like, but I think she got it. And, yeah, you know, Alicia Gray, like, I love her. She's one of my favorite players since... I don't care what team she's on. Yeah. I'm always going to vote for her for All-Star. I always vote for her every year. So it's nice to see her get into the... You know, actually make the All-Star team these last few years. But I love her, and so seeing her win both was, I was happy for her because where the money reside.
Yep, but she had them checks. Thank you.
So, yeah, I loved the whole weekend, so I loved the flow of the game. And it was funny after the game when Aja said, when they asked Aja, you know, how does she feel about the competition in the game and, you know, playing defense, and she was like, can I be honest? Because this was for a tune-up, but ordinarily, no, I don't want to play no defense. And I think that's what people don't, when people think about All-Star game, even on the men's side, and we wanted to be competitive as a fan, yeah, you want to see that, but as players, they're trying not to, they have to go through the rest of the season. They're trying not to get injured. They're, you know what I mean? Like, they're going through the flow, but it's not, I don't think it's enough incentive there for them to go like all out, like you know, go all out like that. Like the incentives just aren't there for them for that, and it's too much risk.
Yeah, it's definitely too much risk unless you're like Arike and just always have to make a statement. You know, find a play in a game. You know, she took the moment for sure, and she deserved the All-Star MVP once again. So I really love when players do sometimes step out of that. Oh, well, granted, she wasn't really playing defense. She was playing a lot more offense. Mm-hmm. But I like that she stepped out and, like, you know, had some fun with it, put a little competition into there. But I definitely think that preservation is more important than, you know, an all-star game, for sure.
Absolutely. And then we can pretty much go to the Olympics. Like, we know the all-star, for the all-star game, just like last time, you know, Team WA won that game, you know, like, and it's looked as that's going to be the stiffest competition, like, Team USA is going to face in, you know, in the Olympics. And it wasn't a surprise because it's a tune-up game for the Team USA and, you know, helped them get in that flow. And they were pissed at the end, seeing, like, Team WNBA celebrating. And you looked at all their faces and they were not happy. And they went on to, you know, now they're in Paris recording this while the Olympics are taking place. And they haven't lost a game. They look really solid on the floor. And it's going to be great seeing them go through the Olympics tournament and seeing them. What are you looking for in these games? And, you know, do you have a thought on the WNBA, like on Team USA in the Olympics, and what you're thinking of the competition you're facing? Because I think people, in some ways, yes, we have a great team, but also they've been getting better too. So I think some competition could be interesting in some of these games.
Yeah, I think overall Team USA is a force to be reckoned with, but you do see a few flashes where everybody's still trying to gather their chemistry on the floor together. We're still trying to see which lineups work best and everything like that. I think their first matchup versus Japan was really good for them because Japan basically played full court press the entire game. They didn't let Team USA let up at all. They kind of kept their foot on the gas, and Team USA did the same thing back too, though. They won in a dominant fashion, I believe, by at least 30. It might have been 40. And
but at first, like the first few quarters, that's shooting. Like, was getting those shots off.
It was not pretty at all. But Asia Wilson is that girl.
Yeah.
Leon is also that girl.
Yeah. Them two together is crazy.
Yeah, having them both on the floor at the same time is kind of like a cheat code. And then you also have Chelsea Gray with the court vision. She's going to get a pass
out
anywhere, post, top of the key, it doesn't matter. So I think all together they have a pretty good team. It's just more so establishing that chemistry, because outside of France and maybe Nigeria, I don't really see anybody standing in their way.
Me either. I don't see anyone standing in their way. I'm looking forward to them playing France. I am looking forward to the France game. I don't think anyone's going to stand in their way at all. Like, I think I thought that we were clearly going to get the gold, but I think I was over it. In some ways, I do think the competition got better overseas, but I do think, yeah, we're going to walk away with the gold. It's more like who's going to get the silver and the bronze.
Yep.
So, you know, great for team. I was happy for Nigeria, for them to get that historic win over Australia. Mm-hmm. Really happy for them. And seeing them being so happy and celebrating was just, it warmed my heart, you know, for them to get that win.
Yeah, they're making us all have to pay attention to them. Because Australia is always renowned for their players and, like, Lauren Jackson and, like, all these. I do think that Australia missed Beck Allen a lot that game. I think she's probably a key piece of their puzzle. And when she went down, I think it might have took some of the air out of the room, too. But Nigeria just let us know, like, hey, don't count us out on anything. Kind of like with France, like, Canada has a bunch of WNBA players on their roster, but they got shut down by France. I think they only had 2 points in the second quarter. Like, that's insane. I think France will probably, like, get silver, but for right now, it's Team USA and then everybody else.
Yeah, pretty much. And we'll see what ends up happening at the end. Anything you want to say on the men's side? Have you saw any of the men's games at all?
Yeah, I watched them, but it's like, I'm not a fan of some of the men on the team.
Right, right. I get that.
Yeah, I don't like Joel. So, you know, seeing him not play today was so beautiful. I enjoyed the best basketball I've ever watched on the court. But I'm happy.
I've been watching the international games. I've been watching the, because I have Peacock, so I've been watching the World Feed games. Like, I love watching France. there's some teams, like, I love watching Germany. Like, there's some I was like, I'm going to watch some more international play because I do like the flow of the game.
Yeah, the international games have been really good. I think I tuned into a few of the Canada games and Greece. I think it was Greece.
Yes. I watched a little Greece. And I was like, oh, Giannis, man. I think he has some key people on this team, but he can use just a little bit more help there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's funny, on the women's side, I've been watching Arella Grantes because Rutgers alum. I'm a Rutgers alum. Mm-hmm. And I know she plays overseas, so she's doing fine. But we don't get to see her in the W. And I watched her game that she had actually this morning, and that was a tough loss for Puerto Rico. I know she's doing her all, and they're giving their all. But the other game, when she sat, I was like, why is she not in a game? And we never really got an explanation of what happened the first game and why she only played like 5 to 7. She played very, very little minutes the first game. So I didn't understand what happened there, because they could have used her, and that could have helped them win that game. But it's all good. Like, love Arella, and she's giving her all to the Puerto Rican team, and thinking about them as they go through the tournament. Now, W at the break. I'm a New York Liberty fan, but I'm very nervous about, because people look at, you know, our record. Oh, they're 21-4. I still see that there are areas we can work on as a Liberty team. Like, yes, Sabrina has worked on areas of her game, and I think her working on other areas of our game, her three was sacrificed a little bit this season. I think, you know, like, it'll eventually come back, you know, like, as she continues to work through and flow through in her game. But she's improved in other areas so much that I feel like it's made her a better player overall. And she's starting to rely less on that three, and you know, she'll go to the hole, she'll do what she needs to do. But the holes I see with the Liberty are still, like, I love Leonie Fivic. I didn't know what to make of her because I don't watch a lot of international ball, and I'm going to start. I didn't know she was as good as she is. So it's funny they say she's a rookie because it's the first season, but she ain't a rookie.
Oh no, not at all.
So but Stewie's shot is not dependable at the moment. Like, she'll have a game where a shot is falling, and then she'll have a game where it isn't. Mm-hmm. But her defense is inconsistent. Jonquel, sometimes she can get in her feelings, and then that will, you know, that can affect the game and the flow of the game. Benaja's been injured, but she should be, hopefully she's on the mend when we get back to play. You know, I want to see how we do in the playoffs, and if we are competitive and we're able to eke out the finals, make it to the finals, and eke out the finals. Because I think it's going to be stiff competition. What are your thoughts on the season in general? Do you think you guys have a chance for Paige? And what are your thoughts on the Dallas Wings and any other team in the league?
Okay, so just a disclaimer, I am not a Dallas Wings fan.
Oh, sorry. You covered a Dallas Wing.
I only covered, and it's so funny, everybody thinks I'm a Dallas Wings fan, that I live in Dallas, that I'm just Dallas.
Yep, that's why I was like, is it the right time zone?
I am actually a Las Vegas Aces fan. I try not to show, well, also because I'm a social media manager, I can't show my bias too much online. So, you know, like, maybe a game that doesn't end till like 12 or 1 in the morning, you might catch a tweet or two, something like that. But I think New York is fine, especially for them to have the record that they do right now at 21-4. They just came off of a 4-game win streak to end at the Braves.
Yeah,
I think they're in a really good spot. And to me, the Giants of the league are still the New York Liberty and the Las Vegas Aces. Other teams are going to have to prove and show to me that they're better than them, and nobody has shown it yet.
I think when Minnesota, when they get back Nafisa, I think that they, you know, they can make some noise in the playoffs.
So I think that Connecticut, Minnesota, and Seattle are all like a tier under New York and Vegas, mainly because they have a few holes and missing pieces, a few injuries, people coming back. Connecticut just did a trade with Marina Mabry to get her and everything like that. So I think those three teams between Connecticut, Minnesota, and Seattle are very competitive right now, and they could really take New York or Las Vegas to like a 3 or 5-game series. They could take it all the way, and then it just comes down to that one game. So I definitely have my eyes on those five teams, though. New York, Las Vegas, Connecticut, Minnesota, and Seattle. I know we're going to talk about like the final four teams, but those are my five. Because, you know, it's kind of hard to...
No, we're on the same page with the five.
Yeah, I think the five is like pretty easy, and then everybody else who falls into that lower part of the playoffs bracket is where it kind of gets like a little dicey. Overall, I think the first half of the season was actually really good and very competitive. Indiana Fever are a team that I saw stay in games even though the game was out of reach for them, like towards the end. They were in the Connecticut Sun, and up until like the last 3 minutes of the game, they were only down by like 1 or 3 points until somebody just, you know, just hits a couple shots and extends the lead. Phoenix is also pretty interesting for me. I have a big question mark for them when the break resumes, especially with them possibly losing Beck Allen also. I see how the team mixes personality-wise, but not necessarily on the floor. Like, when Kalia Coppola was out here hitting all these threes to start the season, I was shocked. I thought that was seeing Kod take on a new role. Sophie Cunningham is kind of like, you know, shifting in where she stands. Natasha is facilitating the ball well and getting assists out, but we haven't seen as much as her offensive game as we have, like, previously. So, they're also one of the teams that a lot of people expected to be higher up in the seeding, but I think they also just have a lot of question marks when it comes to their team that they need to answer.
I think one of the things with Phoenix is because they're a team that was, but I saw it with the Liberty last year, we were kind of put together as, you know, quote unquote super team.
And
we had to work on, which they keep mentioning every game, the relationship of the players and how we worked on our relationship. I think it's normal because we were all new. I mean, they were the stars were new to each other, and they had to develop that chemistry. I think they worked on it, and I think that helped. And I think when I look at the Phoenix Mercury, you know, with copying, you know, pretty much the leader of Chicago, you know, like, you know, and then going there and fitting in with Diana Taurasi and Griner and, you know, Cunningham. And I think it's interesting, but I can see next season being a better season for them in terms of them working and melding and rising up more in the rankings. But I'm curious to see them, how they do down the stretch when we get back in season. But yeah, I'm so tired of them talking about the Liberties working on their chemistry every game. We get it.
It's funny. Well, it's actually not funny. That's the point. I feel like my friends, you know, I feel like to hang around my friends. But when we're butting heads, when we can't get it together, when we can't get on the same page, nothing is funny. I don't want to get along. I don't want to talk. But it just, I think what people forget is that when it comes to putting a team together with a bunch of really talented players, like, it takes time, and it's not always fun during that time. Like, for example, the Las Vegas Aces drafted Jackie Kelsey and Asia. So they were able to kind of organically build that relationship throughout time. But New York, like you said, is really just did it during an offseason, and training camp isn't that long before, you know, the season begins. So I think New York is having a lot of fun right now, which is why they're 21-4. I think they really like each other right now. Like, they are having a ball, they are hooping, and they're really setting a standard for everybody else to catch up to, because we all thought, at first, Connecticut was going to go undefeated. We thought Minnesota was about to be number one. We thought Seattle with Mecca, Jewel, and Skylar were about to be, you know, like a top three team. And right now it's New York.
Yeah, Connecticut was surprising because they start. I still love DeJohn. I still love Carrington. I still love watching her play. A foursome, both ends of the court. I love their team, actually. I love their team makeup. And I'm a big Alyssa Thomas fan. And I do like watching them play. And sometimes with New York fans, they're not exactly fans of Connecticut. But, you know, they're growing me a little bit. So I was surprised that they went through that spell. But with them getting Marina, and I think they'll be fun, and, you know, it'll be fun to watch them in the playoffs. But I want to see Carrington and Marina on the court.
I need
to work on their chemistry.
I need somebody with the camera in the locker room on day one. We need a Hard Knocks of the Connecticut Sun second half of the season. Like, I would pay money to watch Dejanay and Marina trying to get over whatever it is. But it also could just be basketball spice. Like, you know, sometimes in sports, you do, hey, Patrick Lee and Russell Westbrook literally hate each other for the majority of their careers, and then ultimately had to play together, I think, in Los Angeles on the Lakers. So it kind of comes with the territory, but I do want to be a fly in the locker room when that happens.
I will say one team that surprised me that's in the bottom four right now is the Atlanta Dream. Jordan Canada being out, Ryan Howard being out as long as she was, I think that because of the injuries, they weren't able to make headway the way that I thought they would, because I love watching them hoop too, but wasn't expecting to see them in the bottom four again with Satu with the Dallas Wings, injuries to the Washington Mystics. Los Angeles Sparks are where I thought they would, because I think they have their cornerstone too, you know, with the draft they just got, but they need to build experience, work together, and they're in the midst of figuring some things out. But them losing Cam Brink, when they have Cam Brink coming back next year, and that's going to be a real rookie season. Mm-hmm. But I'm not surprised by the Sparks. When you look at the bottom four, and we think about the draft, you know, when I think about Paige and Paige and Kiki Irifin, I don't think I said her name right, but I love her, and I never know how to say her last name. Please don't charge it to me. I used to worry about Paige going to Indiana only because I just think that they have a team that they're really building around already. I feel like, you know, like, I just see where would Paige, I do see Paige as like a cornerstone, you know, with, you know, another franchise. They already have their players they're building around with Caitlin and Aaliyah. So I felt like I want her somewhere where she can also build. Like, my dream is to have her go to Washington because Aaliyah Edwards is there. Yeah, my dream is, but I'm fine with her going to, you know, Sparks, Wings. But Indiana, I feel like they have Caitlin, they have Aaliyah. Like, where's Paige fit? So, I was curious your thoughts there, and then we can talk about the rookies from this season.
So, I'm not surprised that Atlanta is where they are. At the beginning of the season, I had them ending at 10th. Mainly because, I don't know if everybody knows, but most people know that they don't have an offense. And it's been said throughout the team that they don't have an offense. So, and you've also been able to notice the disconnect between Tanisha Wright and her locker room.
Yes.
And so you mix all of that together and you end up in 9th and 10th, yeah, that's the recipe that you're going to get. That's definitely the outcome that you're going to get. And then also, kind of like how the Dallas Wings are with Arike Ogunbowale, Ryan Howard and the Atlanta Dream need to figure something out. when it comes to making her the centerpiece, because Arike has Satu to kind of fall back on, and I think Ryan has Alicia Gray to also fall back on. But you're also putting Alicia in the same position in Atlanta that she was in Dallas. You're not really giving her any room to work with. Like, the team should honestly be built around Alicia and Ryan right now. If you want to try like a big three, then either Cheyenne Parker or Tina Charles. But I don't think that
Tanisha... I'm loving Tina Charles this season.
I love having Tina back in the league. Now, she could have went somewhere else. She could have went to like a Vegas, a New York, somewhere. But I'm not mad at her in Atlanta because I think she's just trying to get back into the league and, you know, see if she wants to do this for a couple more years. But I think Atlanta being at 9 is pretty much where they're going to be for a while until they decide to make some hard decisions.
It's going to be an interesting offseason for them, I think, this after this season's over.
Yeah, I think Washington just needs to go ahead and look at the draft. Don't even worry about the rest of this season. Put out there who you can. And then let's just go ahead and focus on the future. Because I also don't think that Eric Thibault, which is Little T, you know, everybody called Mike Thibault Big T. I don't think Little T has galvanized this team like he should have also. You know, nepotism is a thing. It happens.
It is. But I think they should make a switch. I really think that a coaching change could possibly help them there next season.
I do too, because even kind of like with the Dallas Wings, where you have some injuries, it shouldn't bring you down this far. I do think that Shakira Austin and Brittany Sykes play a very big part in Washington's offense. Yeah. So we need to bring in some strength and conditioning coaches. We need to get some physical therapists. Like, we need to figure out what's going on. Why aren't our players staying healthy? And then a system around them that benefits like their playing style and stuff too, because sometimes that's why players get hurt, because they're trying to do more, or, you know, they're exerting their energy in a position or in a role that they're not used to playing. So we have to figure out a way for them to be like in a better system. I think at the beginning of the season I had LA at 7th or 8th. That's really because I thought that when Azaray came back, Cam Brick was going to be healthy. And I thought the guard play would be a little bit better in LA than it is right now. But I think that's their biggest downfall at this point is the guard play. Cameron Brink, De'Erica Hamby, Rekia Jackson, Azaray Stevens, Lee Rue, they've all done very well in the front court for the Sparks lately. And I really think that the reason that they have won as many games as they have is because of them. But their backcourt isn't getting enough support for them to be able to, you know, get higher in seeding or win more games than they have already. So I think the LA Sparks are going to have some decisions to make for the next coming years. Like, if you want to stay young, if you want to lean into your vets, what's the right mix of veteran and young talent? I think they have a lot of decisions to make too. And the Dallas Wings, I don't know what to say about them. It's like, as a professional, as a journalist, there's only so many ways that you can say the same thing over and over. But for them to be 12 right now is absolutely insane. Like, I understand.
I know Satu was a big loss, but I wasn't expecting. But yeah, this is.
And if we're being honest, Satu has missed other seasons. And y'all have made the playoffs without her. So it's kind of interesting that they're all the way at 12. And I really just think that there's something's off within the locker room, whether it's the playing style or the way that everybody is relating to each other. It's something major, because you have Arike, even Monique Billings came in and she gave you as a hardship player. Coming in as a hardship player, she's giving you good minutes. Kalani Brown, who you signed to a 3-year protected deal, you're not even really using her. She's barely scratching 5 to 7 minutes off the bench at that. We don't see sets of Tier and Kalani together on the floor. The point guard position was a mess. They lost Maddie Segrist, which she was my most approved player.
That's heartbroken.
Yeah, she was going to be my most approved player candidate, and I was going to let everybody hear it. I wasn't going to shut up about it, but it's okay, because when she comes back, we could pick it right back up. But overall, I just think it's too much chaos in Dallas right now, and they kind of need to figure out what they want to do. Because also, when you have these hardship contract players, Satu is playing right now. So that means she's probably going to be available when she gets back. And if she's not available when she gets back, why isn't she? At this point, and even Jaylen Brown, who we've seen on the sideline, cheering on her team, rooting for them, but hasn't touched the court since, I believe, the first game of the season. So I understand wanting to keep hardship players under contract because you feel like you need them. But Dallas was good because of the team that they were coming in with. With Satu, with Jaylen Brown, with Maddie Segrist. Mm-hmm. So I think that they need to, hopefully, when they get Satu back, Jaylen also comes back, and they just stick with their original team. I think getting caught up in hardship contracts a little too much is what's going to be their downfall. So I really hope head coach Latricia Tremel can just really get her team together and just help them trend in the right direction, because there's no reason why they should be 12 at all. Like, I was so confident that they would be a top five team this year, and I look crazy.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm looking at the time, and I know I gave you a certain time frame, and I'm like, my goodness, I just love speaking to you, and it looks like we are going to
end a little bit.
We only have a few more topics, and one of them I have is how do we feel about the rookies this season? I personally love this rookie class. Caitlin, my impressions, I did watch her in college. I watch a lot of college ball. I wasn't watching college ball at all like a few years ago. I was one of those people, okay, let me look at them in the tournament, and then at least I have a vibe of them coming into the league. Now I'm watching all season, and Caitlin, I did watch her pretty much lead Iowa, and I did know she was a good passer. And I felt like, okay, coming into the league, if she's pass first, that can really set her apart and really help her team. And she's pretty much, she's a player who looks for the best play on the floor that will help them win. And I think that's the aspect of Caitlin. I think the passing part in the professional level took people by surprise. Now, she has a turnover problem, but as a rookie, I feel like I don't charge that to her as much. I mean, yes, that they are her turnover. There are turnovers. Yeah. But I think those are growing pains in order for her to keep continuing to build, you know, like her build assists and build camaraderie and build that kind of chemistry with her team too, like the spots, because sometimes she would, you know, kind of see a play before it happens a little bit and think they're going to be at a particular spot, and they weren't at that spot, and hence the turnover. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from Caitlin. I'm looking forward to seeing her continue develop in a league. So I wanted to get your thoughts on her. And then Angel Reese, I remember hearing Angel was going to struggle a little bit at first, but the one thing that everyone agreed that could translate first was the rebounding, and boy has it translated. Angel Reese is a beast on those boards and with those double doubles, and I love her personality. I love what she's doing in the Chicago community. My favorite player coming out was Rekia Jackson. I'm a huge Rekia Jackson fan, and I just think the sky's a limit for her potential moving forward. I love her. Love Rekia Jackson. With the right coaches around her, I really love to see what she can do. So, I'm curious. Yeah. Your thoughts.
So, I appreciate what Caitlin brings to the WNBA. I appreciate her playing style. She has ushered in a new set of fans, even though, you know, no comment on
that. Yes, she has.
But the viewership has followed her. I don't contribute all of that to her, just some of it, because I think what people fail to forget is last year's matchup between the Las Vegas Aces and New York Liberty was one of the biggest finals matchup that people have ever watched in the WNBA.
Yeah.
I think that Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and other rookies are joining a time in the WNBA where we're beginning to peak. We haven't hit the peak yet, but it's starting. Everybody's starting to see the value.
I think they're coming in the league at a pivotal time when our viewership has been going up every year. And now, and one of the things that hasn't translated as well is fans following their favorite players from college to the league. I think with these sets of players, with these rookies, you know, like, we're seeing fans follow them to the league. And yes, Caitlin's brought fans to the league. She's brought a large subset of the Iowa fans with her. But I think Angel's also brought LSU, who are in her corner. I think Aaliyah's also brought UConn, who, you know, like, are in her corner. I think that, you know, like, yeah, Caitlin and Angel, they're definitely the more popular of, and Cam Brink before she went down was another one. That was getting a lot of fire, but they brought fans in, and it's not just Caitlin, but she did bring in a large share, and respect to her for that, but she's been playing her ass off. I respect her.
Same with Angel Reese, she's been playing her ass off too. That consecutive double-double record, that was like shocking to me, which I didn't expect her.
Yes.
I didn't really have any expectations for the rookies coming in. I'm not one of those people like, oh, you have to be an MVP and first team. And, like, that's not me. I just want to gauge where you are in your first year, because that's going
to
your career anyway. So I think that the Angel, I think she came in authentically herself. I think at one point she was talking to the media a little bit too much. She wanted people to understand her, and then she kind of got bit by it. And so it's like now I feel like she's trying, or she is understanding the balance between media, basketball, life outside of basketball, having a life, having other deals and endorsements, and being able to be in the mix with different type of people. She's in Paris. She's not even playing. She's over there hanging out with everybody, you know.
Eating
French food, like, and she's just having fun. And on top of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, there are other rookies who standing out too.
Yeah,
Jackson, Kate Martin with the Aces, love her.
Yes, Kate Martin has been a surprise. Like, I watched her at Iowa. I knew what kind of player she was. I knew she could contribute. But I feel like with the Aces, I just don't know how often they're going to play their rookies sometimes.
That was surprising to see her get so much playing time. Yeah. She fit so well. She fits in so perfectly.
And Asia adopted her. So that's great.
Yes, I love the way they corral around her and just make her feel like her. Alyssa Pilley, Cameron Breen, Camila Cardoso, like, they're all putting up really good.
And Aaliyah Edwards, even though Washington isn't having the greatest year, they really missing one of my favorites, Brittany Sykes.
Yes.
And Shakira Austin, like, I was going to go down to D.C. and actually spend a weekend and go see a few games and do their whole brunch offer. I have some friends down there. And I was going to do that whole thing. But with them being out, I was like, I'm next year. Like, I'm not doing that with them not being there when they're my favorite players.
Right.
But I love Aaliyah stepping up, and really, she's learning on the floor too. Like, she's building and learning with every game. So I think her effort and what she's been doing has been not getting as much burn, but Aaliyah doesn't even look like a rookie most times. She's hooping.
Ella Morrissey of Windsider, she's part of our social media team, but she also writes for the local W. She just dropped an article today titled "Rookie Watch List Under the Radar Rookies," and Aaliyah is featured. Go check it out at windsider.com. That's W.
Yeah, I'll have the link. I will put the link when I post this episode. I will post the link accompanying that, and then your latest article as well when I post this. So I will share it.
Yeah, it's a really good article because, you know, most people focus on Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese as the Rookie of the Year race. And that's cool because arguably they probably are. And you might even throw Leonie Feebitch in there too now. But there are also other rookies that everybody has to pay attention to. And I'm really shout out to Ella for putting this article out.
And my rookie, we don't get to see as much because I don't consider, even though Leonie Feebitch is a rookie, but Markeisha Davis, Minnie Ka, Minnie Kalia Copper. She loves her and finally got to meet her this season. She hasn't, you know, she plays for us and we have so many great, really good team with experience. So she's not getting that burn. It's almost like, yeah, she's not getting the burn and then, yeah, that. But I think she can be good, like, in future years.
Yeah.
I love the rookie class. I love what they brought in. I'm really excited for the next few classes that are coming out. Paige and Kiki and a few others next year. A bunch of others. I think next year's class is going to be stacked and eventually Juju. People think that she could be the first player that comes out before, that she's going to challenge the rule about her not being able to come out until she's a senior at 22. They think she's going to challenge it, but we'll see.
Got a challenge, you know, unless the NBA, see, now that's the NBA thing at this point, because, you know, the WNBA is subsidized under them, so any type of decision that they make has to go through them first, and unfortunately, I don't know if they would change it. It would make sense, like, we're adding more games, we're adding more teams, so the spots are there, so it has potential if the league decides it, but unfortunately, I don't know if she could challenge it.
I know, that's what I keep telling people. I was like, I don't know about that. I'm looking at the time.
Could have challenged it, it probably would have been Caitlin.
It would have been Caitlin, but people are just wants to see Juju in the league. Mm-hmm. And they really want to see Juju in the league, but I think they're going to have to wait. We'll get her. They're going to maximize her in college. And she'll be there 3 more seasons. That's what I honestly think. If she does get out earlier, great.
She might be, since the broadcast rights deal begins in 2026, 9 times out of 10, the salary cap and everything is going to go up. She might be, like, the first highest paid rookie, like, that we ever see. If she continues, like, if they don't change the rules, she comes out in 4 years, everything's fine. Like, she'll probably be that.
I think so. The new media deal, I figure we can end on that. First of all, thanks for being here. The flow of the conversation, I just love talking to you. And I love your work that you do and everything. So
I'm sorry, it's my partner dying in the background.
I don't even hear anything.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't hear any. I mean, I hear, you know, like with my headphones, I just hear my background, like, my family's in another room, you know, tons of noise. So I just hear them in my head, in my hair, in my headphones. With the new media deal, I'm excited for the new media deal. $2 billion. Like, I'm excited about it. I just want to read it because I want to understand, because I read something that said the WNBA can negotiate in a few years if the deal outruns, you know, like if the deal is lopsided and, you know what I mean, a bit, they can go to the table and renegotiate. But is that true? I forgot where I read that because I haven't read that anywhere else. Only read it once.
Check real quick just to make sure. I didn't see that, but I'm pretty sure it's an NBA clause because, you know, the WNBA deal was also negotiated.
I can't stand that deal was together. I thought Kathy knew to make sure you do that deal yourself.
I think until they unsubsidize from the league, everything's just going to be under one umbrella. And it's like, I get it. I wholeheartedly understand it because, in a way, it probably does protect the WNBA, especially because I'm viewing this deal as like a base price. I feel like from here on out, we should never get paid lower than $200 million. And from here, we should really just see it elevate. I think this specific deal is just going to be the changing of the tide for the WNBA. Yeah. So when it does come time for them to unsubsidize, if they choose to, they have the metrics, they have the money, they have the concrete evidence to back it up. Like, hey, in 2024, we were able to achieve this deal to begin in 2026 over the next 11 years. However, we're coming back to the table after year 5 or 6, and we're seeing, hey, you probably should renegotiate this. And that might even make the NBA go back and renegotiate, you know, their own deal with NBC, Amazon, and Disney. So I do think it's possible. I don't think it's out the realm of possibility for sure.
Because I understand a criticism on them being undervalued, and like the you know, I get that part. But I'm excited for it and the potential for it, and really excited about the potential for it. Mm-hmm. Yay to the W. And I had you for over an hour when my intent was to have you for half of that. So, but we had such an engaging, really cool conversation. I would love to bring you back for, I would be honored if you were to come back, and talk some more W with us as the season, because we'll be in the second half of the season. Talk about who would you pick for season awards. You are a journalist, who would you select, and just have another general conversation about a great season, like later. I would definitely love to, as your time allows. So I appreciate this time, because I'm loving this season. And check out Jasmine Harper on Twitter. What's your handle? Tell the people your handle.
My handle is HarperXXWrites, WRITES.
And you will have a link to that. And wherever you're listening to the show, you will have a link to her Twitter profile. Definitely check her out. And we are out. Thanks for listening to Hoops and Huddle. We are out of here.